Great to be with you. Let's go to Psalm 89 to begin this morning. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Most people agree there has to be a far greater intelligence and power behind all that we see. Some people say God, there must be a God. Other people say a higher power. And some go so far as to say the universe. The universe will bring you this and so on and so forth. But most people agree that all of this didn't just come together out of nothing. I mean, take a look at the human body. It's just awesome. So logical people agree that it didn't just happen. But the real question is not, do you believe in God? The real question is, do you believe God? Do you believe God? And in order to believe God, you need to know something about him, right? And can we honestly think that God, who created the heavens and the earth, who put all this together with his almighty power and great wisdom, would want us to just guess about him? Would want us to not know him at all? That he wants to stay hidden and mysterious? Well, that doesn't make any sense. This morning, we're going to do a bit of reading in God's Word, and we're going to see that God's Word reveals that he is God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is none else. And those who choose other gods or idols, those that reject the one true God, are very foolish to do so. So we begin here in Psalm 89. You would look at verse 6. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto God? Who are you going to compare God to? You know, sometimes in sports, a current player is compared to a past player. Man, he throws the ball just like so-and-so. Or he steals bases like, you know, they compare them. In music, too. She sings, she reminds me so much of this and that, which is fine. But who in the world can be compared to God Almighty, the Creator? Keep your finger here. We're going to come right back. But go to Exodus chapter 15. Right after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, we all remember that, right? God parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. Once they got all the way across, the Egyptians that were pursuing after them, gone forever, wiped out. And so right after they crossed, Moses sang and taught the children of Israel this song, which is in Exodus chapter 15. We're not going to read the whole song, but the first verse says, in Exodus 15:1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord? That's just like what we read in Psalms, right? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Who is like unto God that can do this? Back to Psalm 89. We'll read verse 6 again. Psalm 89, verse 6. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared or reverenced in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Who is like God that can do these things? He is a great, big, wonderful God We sang that song, didn't we? Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Right after Song of Solomon, Isaiah 40. We get the question comes up again in Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Everybody there? Okay. When we're in the church epistles, we get there a little faster, right? Old Testament sometimes. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Down to verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Yeah, you know anybody that can do that? Can take all the water on earth and measure it in the hollow of their hand? And meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who's directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Oh, where did God get all this great wisdom? Who taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Who did this? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Yeah, compared to God, all these other things are just so, so far. And Lebanon, where all the beautiful trees are, not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing compared to God, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Can anybody draw a picture? Let's see, I'm going to draw a picture. What are you going to draw? Maybe that's why God told the children of Israel in the Ten Commandments, shall not make any graven images. What kind of image can we make of God? So then he's going to talk about what people do. The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity compared to his wisdom. And then continuing to talk about the idols. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he, God, shall blow upon them, and they'll wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. They're nothing, these idols. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one fails. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why are you saying that? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. And look at this. This is what our God, God Almighty, our Heavenly Father does. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that put their trust in God Almighty, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He is God Almighty, the one true God. That is who our Heavenly Father is. Look at chapter 46 here of Isaiah. Aren't these great verses about God? This is the God we love, the God we worship, the God we pray to, the God we put all of our trust in. Almighty God. In chapter 46, verse 5, again the question comes up. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? So once again, talking about idols, false gods. Verse 6, they lavish gold out of the bag. This big bag of gold, boy, we're going to make a great idol on this one, huh? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. Yeah, because see, this God can't go anywhere. So if we need to bring this God somewhere, someone has to carry this God. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he stands. From his place shall he not remove. No, he can't go anywhere. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. You can call on him. You can bow down and worship. He ain't going to do nothing. Remember this and show yourselves men. Kind of like means grow up. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. I am your God, for I am God, and there is none else. He's the one true God, and everything else is false. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. What God says he will do, he will do. What he said he has done, he has done. He is God Almighty and there's no one else. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. None else. He is the one true God. Back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 115. Verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, it's not about us, but unto your name give glory for thy mercy and for thy trust's sake. It's not about us, we give glory to God. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He's alive and he'll do what he wants to do. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like them. And so is everyone that puts their trust in them. They're nothing. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. And it goes on. Trust in the Lord. Trust the one true God. And so, you know, it's one thing to say, I believe in God. But it's entirely a different thing to say, I believe God. Because in order to believe God, you need to understand who he said he is and what he said he will do and has done. And the only place to get that understanding is from his words in his word. Because God is who he says he is in his word. He has done what he said he has done in his word, and he will do what he said he will do in his word. So maybe next time you're in a conversation with somebody and they go, oh, I believe in God. I say, that's great. Do you believe him? They might look at you funny. What do you mean, do I believe him? Do you believe him? You know, many people invent a God that fits their lifestyle. I call that a God of convenience. Well, God knows my heart, and God is okay with this, and God... So which God are you talking about? In the Bible? The one true God? Where did all of this originate? That you could be your own God, that you can make your own decisions about right and wrong and truth and error? Back in Genesis 3, let's look at it for just a minute. It's where this all started. And you remember that Genesis chapter 3. God gave them a commandment not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent, verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? No, God didn't say that. The woman said, that we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God didn't say anything about touching, and God didn't say, lest you die. God said, in the day thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die. And the serpent, this is our adversary, Satan, the devil, a lot of names in the Bible. Serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. God's a liar. Then verse 5, look at this. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as what? Gods. You could be your own God, knowing good and evil. Isn't that interesting? Basically telling them, you don't need God. You can be your own God. You can decide what's good and what's bad, what's evil, what's this, what's true and what sounds like our culture, doesn't it? We just decide. And why was Satan promoting this? Look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah, right before Jeremiah. Isaiah 14. You know, sometimes people say, well, why is there evil in the world if God's so good? Because God gave free will to the angels, that's why. When God originally created all of the spirit beings, angels, they have free will. And one of the top ones was Lucifer. And we read, and we get into this in real great depth in the Walking in God's Power advanced class, but just want to show you a couple verses. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou, you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will sit above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. All those verses that we looked about. Who can you possibly compare to God? Who will you liken me unto? Lucifer said, I will be God. Yeah, you'll be, verse 15, brought down to hell. To the sides of the pit. His day is coming. But look at that. I will ascend. Pride. Great pride. And then the rebellion. And one third of the angels went with him. And so even to this day, Satan continues to deceive people into being their own God, rejecting the one true God, rejecting God's word in his scriptures, worshiping false gods and all the rest. Before we close in Romans, let's read something really beautiful in Psalm 86. Psalm 86, David wrote, that great, wonderful man of God, David. Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And he never had any troubles. Just kidding. Yeah, right. But isn't it wonderful that God had him write this and then we could read this and we could, it could inspire us, it could encourage us to trust our wonderful God. Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. That's a humble king, isn't it? God, you need to listen to me. I'm king, for crying out loud. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusts in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Do you believe God? This is, we're learning about God. God is good. God's ready to forgive. God is pleasant, plenteous in mercy. What a good God we serve. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there's none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto your works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For you are great, and you do wondrous things. You are God alone. He is the one true God. He is God Almighty. Teach me, verse 11, thy way, O Lord. I'll walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear or reverence thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the wicked men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comfort me. We can absolutely put our trust in God Almighty and none else. We're going to close in Romans chapter 11, if you would. God is not hidden and mysterious. He wants us to know him. He's revealed himself to us in his written word. And that's why the more we read and understand his word, the more we know him, the more we understand him. And then we can not just say, I believe in God, and we can say, I believe God. And in reverencing God and his word, we can absolutely put our trust in his promises. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches. We're in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? That's one of those rhetorical questions that you really just don't even bother to open your mouth. Because it's so obvious, right? Verse 34 again. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, of God, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom? To him. To whom be glory forever. Amen. The scriptures clearly reveal he is God Almighty. They clearly reveal his great power, his wisdom, his love, his grace, his mercy. He is God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is none else, and therefore, we can put our absolute trust in God Almighty. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, how great you are. Father, we praise you for your kindness, your love, and Father, most especially for your great plan of salvation and redemption, for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so we could have eternal life, and that, Father, you've freely given us your wonderful Spirit, that we could, Father, manifest the power of God in us. Thank you for your wonderful word that clearly reveals a knowledge of you and all you are, all you have done, and all you've promised to continue to do. And, Father, until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns, Father, may we continue to cry unto you and put all of our trust into you, our wonderful, powerful, delivering God and Father. I pray for everyone here, God, for you to bless them, as well as those on the hookup and those that may hear this recording later. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.